in the next 59 seconds, our goal is to turn non-environmentalists into environmentalists. To that end, we've gotten a family of beavers and put kazoos in their mouths. After all, what's more motivating than animals that play music? Cue the beavers! That didn't go so well. But if the beavers didn't make you an environmentalist, maybe money will. For instance, by adjusting your thermostat a few degrees, you'll save money on energy costs and also help reduce air pollution. For more ways to get green, go to getgreen.com.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and Environmental Defense.
I'm William Shatner, and this is Jimmy. Animals like Jimmy are often left behind by people fleeing hurricanes, fires, floods, and earthquakes. These abandoned animals cannot survive on their own. If you must evacuate your home, please never leave an animal behind. If you absolutely cannot take your animal with you, never leave him helplessly chained or caged. Many animals die because they cannot escape fires or rising waters. Animals need your help. Thank you.
Call PETA today, 757-622-PETA.
Environmental Defense presents Let's Make a Difference, our first and probably last radio quiz show that tests one lucky contestant's level of environmental knowledge. Joining us today, Kevin from Long Island.
Hi.
Okay, Kevin, do you like the ocean?
Yes.
Do you care about the fish that live in the ocean?
Yes.
Are you aware that some of these fish are disappearing?
Yes.
Are you lying?
Yes.
When was the last time you bought or ate seafood at a restaurant?
Last night.
Was it caught in an environmentally friendly way?
Pass.
What scares you more, Kevin, the declining number of fish in the ocean or getting attacked by bumblebees?
Time.
Fair enough. Name a type of sturgeon that's not currently endangered.
Alabama.
Wrong.
Pallet.
Wrong. Wrong.
I didn't say anything.
I felt confident. Oh, looks like we're out of time. Judging from your scores, I'd say you're a bad liar with an irrational fear of insects, but more than capable of making a positive difference in the environment.
Did I win?
Bob, tell me what to do.
Well, Kevin, simply visit GetGreen.com to learn how to find seafood that's plentiful or caught in an environmentally friendly way. It takes hardly any time at all, and you'll help keep our oceans healthy and full of fish. That's GetGreen.com. This has been an Ad Council and Environmental Defense production.
You get what you pay for. Efficient, high-quality service from Perfect Painting and Decorating. In business under the same name since 1975, Perfect Painting and Decorating supplies superior service for both interior and exterior painting, decorative finishing, wallpapering, plastering, drywall and taping, and wood refinishing. For your decorating needs, Perfect Painting and Decorating can custom tint right on the job site. Imagine no interruption, thorough preparation, professional tradesmen, top-of-the-line materials, meticulous cleanup. Get the job done right the first time. It may cost a bit more for quality, but it's worth it. For a free estimate, call Perfect Painting and Decorating at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. You'll be glad you did.
The following paid program is sponsored by Prairie Fire Communications. Opinions expressed do not necessarily represent those of staff and management of WRMN Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Freedom Rings. I'm your host, Kenneth John. With me is my excellent producer, Mike. How are you doing?
Excellent. Yourself?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good.
Thanks too much. I forgot my glasses today.
Oh, not good news.
My reading glasses. I can't see for anything.
I love when you realize that you're on the air, right?
Oh, I know. Jeez. What are you going to do? If I ever get organized, just watch out.
Yeah, right?
Okay, well, let's see. We don't have any football to talk about.
No, that's kind
well,
of...
Well, I mean, well, we do. I'm well, upcoming. No games over the weekend, though. So who do you think is going to win the Super Bowl?
Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I'd agree. I'll say Pittsburgh by 10. That'll be my prediction.
Pittsburgh by 10?
Don't bet on it, folks.
Well,
I don't feel it's a responsibility, but that would be my guess.
I don't feel that Pittsburgh's going to beat them by more than 10.
It could be.
Could be.
Yeah.
Could be.
But congratulations to Seattle just for making it. You know, their first time ever in the Super Bowl. And
no, they really look good.
Yeah, they sure did.
Against Carolina.
Well, who made the Bears look horrible.
Very inadequate for the Bears.
Well, if the Bears don't... Yeah, you weren't here last week. We didn't get a chance to talk about it, but... Or, yeah, I guess we did. That was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
But if the Bears don't pick a cornerback as their number one draft pick, I'll be quite upset.
Yeah, right? How many years in a row did the Bears pick a running back?
That's just absurd.
Yeah, let's get another running back.
Yeah, what a waste it was this last one, wasn't it?
I remember, I don't think it was 86, the year after the Super Bowl, we picked a punter in the first round. Ever since then, I had, you know, what are you thinking? You're going to pick a punter in the first round?
There's a lot of bad moves around there. They got rid of Willie Gault and I think Wilbur Marshall.
Uh-huh. Just dismantled the entire team.
Entire team. That made a lot of sense.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I think some certain families didn't want to pay the money.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on to the stupid regulation of the week. This week, it's not going to be a stupid regulation. It's actually going to be a... wonderfully smart, courageous hacked by a bank, BB&T. I don't know what that stands for. BB&T Corporation of, I believe, North Carolina has decided that they will not lend money on any projects that are tied to eminent domain issues. So I'm glad to see that. I'm glad to see somebody in the private market actually say, well, we're going to, you know, you can pass all the laws you want, but we're not going to support eminent domain. So I think that's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. And it's their right to do so.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You would think so. Although, I mean, there's discrimination laws. When I was reading that, I was thinking, oh, is somebody going to claim discrimination then? When they're already getting, not discrimination, but subsidies, freebies from government. Basically.
Right, right.
Right? You're discriminating against me by not allowing the government to subsidize me.
Yeah.
I don't know. But, yeah, this quote from the chief executive, Johnny Allison, the idea that a citizen's property can be taken by the government solely for private use is extremely misguided. In fact, it's just plain wrong. So, and in a related incident, a few weeks ago, I think I heard on the news that... there's going to be a referendum. Now, I'm not exactly what the impact of the referendum is, to be honest with you. Maybe a caller will know. The listener, I should say, turned caller would know. But there's going to be a referendum on the ballot for the seizing of Justice Souter's property to create the Lost Liberty Hotel.
Oh, yeah?
And as some of you may recall, it was a few months back before that the existing city council voted against seizing the property for a proposed Lost Liberty Hotel. So I guess those who had a proposal decided to go right to the voter. They got the required amount of signatures to get it on the ballot coming, I think, this spring. I don't know if it's an advisory or if it has any teeth into it or not. I somewhat sort of doubt it, but maybe I'm wrong. And if somebody knows better, please inform us all. But that's an interesting aspect of that, too. So when there's a cause popular, some people do stand up, I guess, once in a while. That's somewhat encouraging. Okay, well, we have an open line today. Anything about politics, law, economics, or philosophy is welcome. There's one item I do want to bring up about a libertarian colleague of all libertarians in the United States, Steve Cubby, who had run for governor in the state of California and has been an avid advocate for medical marijuana. And in fact, he has adrenal cancer, and for years and years he's been taking marijuana, and he says it's the only thing that's saved his life. It's taken one form or another of marijuana like every 30 minutes. Apparently. Because my recollection of adrenal cancer, that's fatal stuff all the time. From my understanding. Mm-hmm. And he's beaten it. But evidence, according to him, with medical marijuana. So a few years back, when he was running for governor and he was an advocate of Proposition, I believe it's 215 in California, that got passed that allowed medical marijuana to occur. in that state. Hopefully without the interference of the federal government, which we turned out to be not true. But at any rate, he helped write that proposition, too. So he was a very good advocate for the cause, ran for governor, and local authorities decided to raid his home and arrested him for possession of marijuana. And there was, unfortunately, a small amount of mescaline and magic mushrooms there, too, evidently.
Do you know what the reason they raided his home was for?
Oh, I think it's political.
Yeah.
Well, he's the advocate of medical marijuana. They figured they're going to find marijuana plants. And at that time, the proposition hadn't been passed yet. So
okay.
Medical marijuana was illegal then.
So imagine someone went to a judge and got a warrant for this search?
Evidently. Yeah. And it went in front of a jury 12 counts,
mm-hmm.
and he was found not guilty.
Wow, okay.
I would say a nullification case.
The people have spoken.
Of 11-1 not guilty. Unfortunately, he was found guilty of this small amount of mescaline and magic mushrooms he had.
Okay.
And he was sentenced to 120 days. I think that may have gotten reduced because my recollection was a lot longer. I could be wrong. But long and short of it is, right now it's down to 120 days in jail, and he says if he doesn't get his medical marijuana, he'll die. So, at any rate, just a few years ago, he took off to Canada to escape, his death,
mm-hmm.
thinking he'd get political asylum since Canada supports medical marijuana use. And I think that the pressures from the U.S. government were still strong that they finally, after a couple of years, denied his political asylum status. Sent him back to the United States over this past week, and authorities were waiting for him and arrested him right on the spot,
mm-hmm.
took him off the plane before even, I guess, the protesters had a chance to do their thing there. So he's under custody now, my understanding is, and those of you who care about this issue and care about an activist life, and a real nice guy, by the way, too. We need to get the word out. Just go through the internet. Just start sending messages. Get on different websites and spread the word that Steve Covey needs his marijuana in order to survive in prison. He's convinced he'll be dead if it doesn't happen. So, those of you who have access to the internet, just search Steve Covey and just start getting. You'll find out quickly what his case is about and just start spreading the word. That need to try to save his life. So if you believe in freedom, I think that'd be a really cool thing to do. Okay, we do have an open line today. Anything about politics, law, economics, or philosophy is welcome. We're here at 847-931-1410. I'm Kenneth John. We will be back after a few messages.
Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats and regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government? Well then, America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Baroni's Pizza, 3 Lakewood Plaza, one block west of Route 25 off of Bessinger Drive in Carpentersville on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 o'clock p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
Hello friends, this is Kenneth John, and Freedom Rings needs your help. I would like to get back to a 2-hour show, but that costs money. You can help by contributing to the Heartland Institute, Illinois' own libertarian think tank, with a tax-deductible contribution. The Heartland Institute is an independent, non-profit research organization in operation for 17 years. Joseph Bass, Heartland's president, is a frequent guest on this program. 90% of what you contribute to Heartland comes back to Freedom Rings to pay for this ad. By contributing $25 or more, you will receive monthly publications including School Reform News, environment and climate news, and the Heartlander, the Heartland Institute's monthly newsletter. So please call 312-377-4000 to contribute and be sure to mention Freedom Ring. That's 312-377-4000. Or you can contribute by credit card on the internet by going to Heartland's website at heartland.org. Again, remember to mention Freedom Ring, and thank you for your support.
And you may see tonight women every evil smile. It don't cost very much, but it lasts a long while. Won't you please tell the man I didn't feel any love? So I'm just trying to have me some fun. Well done, I know fun.
All right, we are back with Freedom Ring, and open line, folks. Anything you'd like to talk about, politics, law, economics, or philosophy, I'll just throw a few ideas. Alito, or some say Scalito, or as Teddy Kennedy says, Alioto, Haynes and Jeremiah. Should he be confirmed or not? Is he going to be pro-liberty, anti-liberty? Do you care about that? Give us a call. Well, we do have a caller, which I couldn't read the name.
Grace.
I'm blind. Hi, Grace.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Oh, pretty good. I'm the Bush administration for dictatorship or King George's reign.
Yeah.
But
they,
anyhow,
making King George III's reign of the Tea Party, huh?
Yeah, that's what we
so
need.
So to speak. We do need a new Tea Party, that's for sure.
I was reading a letter to the editor of the Tribune, and it said, whenever George W. Bush brands critics of his Iraq policies as unpatriotic, and when he interjects religion into our government's policies, remember this quote from Sinclair Lewis: when fascism comes to America, it will be wrapped in the flag and carrying the cross.
Oh, that's an excellent quote, isn't it?
Yes. Did you ever get a chance to find that book?
Again? Yeah, I've got actually a friend of mine sent it to me. I haven't read it yet.
Oh.
But I want to read it. Yeah, that it Can Happen Here. Is that the name of it?
Yes.
Yeah, I do want to check that out. I just haven't had the time right now. But the Bush is using the big lie defense right now too, as far as this domestic spying thing is concerned.
Oh, that's horrible.
You know, I think he should be impeached.
I think so, too.
Absolutely. I mean, Bill Clinton was a piker compared to what this Bush administration is doing. And for them to assert that they should be able to spy on American citizens without a warrant, without anybody knowing about it, it's really scary. And it's the scariest thing is the so-called conservative Republicans who supposedly believe in limited government.
I think there's only one conservative Republican in Congress, and that's Jim Nagel.
Well, there's Ron Paul of Texas.
Oh, yeah, Ron Paul. But the rest are neocons.
Very few and far between really true limited government conservatives. And these people are such hypocrites. And can't they see past this reign of George Bush? What would they feel like? What would they think if Hillary Clinton has these kind of powers?
Yes. And they're hollering about all the hate there is for George Bush. Don't they recall all the hate there was for Clinton?
Well, I think the hate's well placed in both sides.
Yes. But I read in a conservative newspaper that if the Bush family was the Ford dynasty, George W. would be its Edsel.
Yeah. And, yeah, but even Edsel can run sometimes and crash into things.
And in this column by Joseph Sobran, he said, rumors of the son's foul temper abound. It was recently reported that he snapped at an aide, quote, stop throwing the Constitution at me. It's just a goddamn piece of paper.
Yeah, we talked about this about a month ago, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd love to hear that if that could be verified. I mean, I don't doubt it's true.
Well, this was in a conservative radical newspaper.
Right. Well, Joe Sobran is one of the most wonderful writers, columnists, I think, of all time. The guy's great.
Well, I don't know anything about computers, but it says Griffin Internet Syndicate. And
he has some internet organizations pick up his columns at a later time. You can subscribe to his service. He writes, I think it's a weekly column. And one can subscribe to it. And I had for a while. I just, for some reason, let it lapse. But he is a wonderful writer. And the conservatives now hate him because he used to be one of them.
Yes. And I subscribe to the conservative article newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
It's over 33 pages of nothing but columns.
Right, right. Yeah, that's.
But they got too many neocons in there. Sometimes that Pat Buchanan is okay, and then he flip flops. Just like Kerry.
Okay. Buchanan's an interesting bird. Yeah, you can't really pin him down too well. Because sometimes he's in favor of massive executive power. That probably stems from the fact that he was working as an aide under Nixon.
Yeah.
During Nixon's impeachment. On the other hand, on international policy, I think Buchanan's great.
Yeah.
So.
Portugal.
Thanks, Grace. I appreciate your call.
Okay, bye.
Okay, we're here at 847-931-1410 open line. Anything about politics, law, economics, or philosophy is welcome. Okay, should Judge Alito be confirmed? There's a lot of worry amongst a lot of people about his view of this so-called unitary form of government, of the executive branch, that grants, dictatorial powers, basically, to the executive. And, for example, this whole business about domestic spying. Well, if we're at war, then pretty much anything goes as long as the president can say it's for national security. That, to me, is a really, really scary concept. And if you read the viewpoints of the Founding Fathers, the framers, that's right, that's the political correct way of saying it, by the way. Now, you can't say Founding Fathers anymore because that's discriminates against the women.
Oh, jeez.
Involved. So now, the politically correct way to say it is just the framers.
The framers.
Yes. The framers would say that, they're the ones that installed the checks and balances on the system. And that the Constitution was written not for peaceful, good times, but for the hard times and the times of war. That's what they just came out of, was the war against the Revolutionary War against King George. So the Constitution was written. I mean, you don't hardly need a Constitution when things are just going well. Nobody has a problem with guaranteeing rights so much. But the Bill of Rights was there just for those times where it's difficult for governments to do that, as an assurance to the people that they would not walk over their rights. And yet we have so-called originalists. Believing in the original interpretation of the Constitution, the way the framers wanted it, so-called Alito is supposed to be amongst them, and yet he seems to be in favor of this dictatorial power aspect of the executive. What about the aspect of the Constitution that says Congress has the power to declare war? And not the executive branch. I mean, even if you'd grant that the president has more powers as an executive under wartime, at least shouldn't Congress declare war on that? We're here at 847-931-1410, and we got
Tim on the line.
Tim. Hello, Tim. How you doing?
Hey, Ken, you blind bat, you.
God, I'm lost without my reading glasses.
Oh, dude, I've been wearing glasses since I was in kindergarten, so I can empathize,
The problem with those of us that had really good vision, in our younger days, is that you've never acquired the habit of making sure your glasses are with you at all times.
Yeah, it does become second nature. Anyway, but I do sympathize with you. Well, you know what you got to do. You just do like what the rest of us myopics do, and that is, you read at the tip of your nose. Yeah.
Okay.
Which makes it a little difficult when you don't have your glasses with a computer screen. Just make sure you put a little, sunburn lotion on the tip of your nose. You'll be all right.
Yeah.
But anyway, the reason I called is the Steve Covey thing.
Yeah.
Really, I've been following that, and he's not the only one, of course, but he's
most celebrated.
Yeah. There was a guy prior to him, if you remember. Peter, and I can't remember his name, McFarland, McDonald,
McWilliams.
McWilliams, right.
What was the famous book he wrote? It was a bestseller.
What's the
conversation between two folks who have Alzheimer's disease?
Yeah, Alzheimer's. Exactly. It's nobody's business
if I do, or something like that.
Right. It's nobody's business if you do.
Right.
Peter McWilliams, and
great guy.
He did die.
The government.
They cut off his supply.
He ended up not being able to hold down the cancer drug treatment.
That's right.
He vomited. He died.
He died on his own vomit, I believe. Yeah. And they didn't have anybody paying attention to him. Also. It's just, it's a sad thing when government can legally kill people and get away with it. And I think we're coming to a point in this country, and it's going to be hard for libertarians to get to this point, to realize that at a certain point, you've been hit at numerous times by government and individuals involved in implementing government policies. It's going to be time to hit back. And always the question comes to, is who do you hit back at?
Well,
I always say it's the guilty parties, but,
Well, the thing is, Tim, first of all, is you got to have the people behind you in any kind of the action that you're alluding to. I'm not sure I see it. You look at the polls, if you want to believe the polls, and they're still more concerned about security than they are about domestic spying.
But the sheeple always have been that way. Look at the stats for the American war.
It was a third deal.
Roughly.
Third revolutionary, third Tories, and third, just wanted to be followed.
Wanted to follow. So it's always roughly, a third of the people or less.
I don't think we have a third of the people yet.
No, I don't think we do either, because I think the arguments have been co-opted. I think the other side constantly uses liberty and freedom, granted in a diluted form more and more. So I think there are issues. That's why one of my personal mottos is Nemo me, impune lacet. No man harms me with impunity. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, grace is my option, not my imperative. And that literally is how it has to be, because ultimately when you get away from this false system, this made-up system of government, then you realize it is up to you individually and those of your friends or your family who are willing to stand up and seize your own liberty and maintain it. Otherwise, you're relying on the good graces of a majority of the sheeple who are influenced by just about anything. So at a certain point, I agree with emails and let the government know that there's a spotlight on them as far as Steve Covey's welfare goes, but prepare for the worst. And what needs to be done, ideally, is find out specifically who are the people responsible for this. Who is the prosecutor? Who's the judge? Who are the people involved in maintaining? And at some future date, if things go wrong, that's going to be then up to the people who are concerned about maintaining a vigilance to take care of them in whatever capacity they want to do. Now, that's a far-out concept for most people, because we've been brainwashed into believing that there's law and order and equal justice and equal protection under the law, and there's not. And if there's not, then it's pretty much might makes right. or the ability to defend and protect yourself is what protects you, or the perception that you're willing to use. Look at the...
They got a lot more guns, though, Tim.
Well, you know, they've got a lot of guns, and we've got a lot of guns, too. And guns isn't always the way to do it. That, you know, take a look at what Michael Collins did in Ireland. He realized that they were outgunned by the British. So the Michael Collins strategy was to take out the British officials and collaborators. You know, you have to deal with this for what it is and depart from this illusion that there is some form of actual fair, just, full of government out there. There's just people. People trying to get along, people that are being bribed, people that are just trying to protect and take care of their own families, people who are perfectly willing to sacrifice you for their own good. And I know it's a cynical view, but it's an actual view of how things work. When it works well, it works great. Group government works great. But when it doesn't work well, it's terrible. And I'm not saying that, you know, I hope Steve Covey does not become another medical marijuana martyr. I really hope that doesn't happen. On a related topic,
I think you see that. I think the whole point of all this exercise is if the focus is on him enough, that may protect his life.
Right. They may give him Marinol. They may give him something, because they do have the ability to provide him with enough THC that he would be able to handle his cancer and whatever treatment is going on with it. But it's really up to their decision whether or not to allow him that kind of relief or not. And hiding behind, oh, we're just following the rules. Rules are bogus. They're just made up rules. It's just like playing the game of Monopoly. Everybody plays, you know, Monopoly, kind of stretching the rules or following them absolutely strictly, and even then, they're made up rules. Laws are nothing more than group rules. And once people start to understand that, there's a little bit more, at least, intellectual freedom. And as I wanted to mention on a related topic, you had a guest on a while back, Mark Stevens, who has the book out, Adventures in Legal Land. Mark Stevens is coming to the Chicago area, in fact, next Saturday, the 4th,
okay.
I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Next Saturday at the Rolling Meadows Holiday Inn, he's doing his seminar, Adventures in Legal Land, and anybody can get this information by just simply going to his website, adventuresinlegalland, it's all one word, .com. And he has a section on there about seminars and when they're coming up and how to do that. I would suggest that anybody who's really interested in fighting and if you're stuck in the courts or you're considering going to court or if you have to be involved in any form of a legal battle, you go in fully armed with Mark Stevens' material. He's absolutely fabulous when it comes to understanding the system and the courts and how this stuff works. But once again, it's all one word, adventure, www, obviously, adventuresinlegalland.com. And I think anybody could find out if they're interested in going.
Okay, great. That's great information, Tim. Appreciate it.
Last thing, just on a personal note, for anybody out there who cares to say a prayer or give an offer to whatever deity that they profess to believe in, my daughter's going under this morning for wisdom teeth being pulled out. So if anyone who has gone through that knows that, it's usually a routine procedure, but there's always some risk. So favorable thoughts would be appreciated.
Okay, Tim.
Other than that, keep up the good work, Ken.
All right. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks.
All right, this is Freedom Rings. I'm Kenneth John. The phone number here is 847-931-1410. Give us a call if you have anything about almost anything, politics, economics, law, or philosophy related. We will be back after a few messages.
We reduce children to their lowest common denominator.
57% of us are functionally illiterate.
For us, Excellence is a thing of the past.
We killed the teachers and students at Columbine.
We are all trained to follow orders.
Good.
We have learned to be tolerant of all people, except whites, Christians, and males.
27% of us are put on drugs.
The rest of us take the illegal ones.
Two-thirds of us believe that from each according to his ability to each according to his need is part of the preamble to the U.S. Constitution.
7 out of 10 of us don't know either of the senators in our state.
We just placed 19th out of 21 countries on math scores, ahead of the Ivory Coast and Sri Lanka.
We elected Bill Clinton as president
and re-elected him.
And 9 out of 10 of us are products of the public school.
This message paid for by the Illinois Indoctrinators Association.
Ever think that you should be getting more out of your computer? Maybe you need a go-to tech guy. A go-to tech guy is somebody who knows computers inside and out and can help you with yours. John Spazieri is a real go-to tech guy. John Spazieri is a 20-year tech veteran who can help you get more out of your computer. Need email or internet setup and training? Call John. Want to simply learn to do things faster? Call John. John Spazieri comes to your home, works with you one-on-one on your machine, and shows you step-by-step how to do things you've always wanted to do with your computer. Want a new computer system set up? Call John. Need fast, convenient repairs? Call John. Call John Spazieri at area code 630-858-6933. That's 630-858-6933. John Spazieri. Make him your go-to tech guy. I consider trial by jury as the only anchor yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. What does this mean? Nothing less than that a juror has more power in a particular case than a judge, congressman, or president, and can judge the law. A juror has the right and power to nullify unjust law by voting not guilty, contrary to the jury instructions that many judges routinely give that jurors must apply the law as given by the judge. This is a very important check on the power of oppressive government. In the past, jury nullification has asserted its historical importance concerning fugitive slave laws of the 1850s, prohibition in the 1920s, and draft cases in the 1960s. Oppressive gun laws, tax laws, and drug laws are other instances where the people through a jury said no to government. For more information, call the Illinois Fully Informed Jury Association at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974.
All right, we are back to Freedom Rings open line today. Give us a call. All right, we've got Pete. Hey, Pete.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
You wanted to discuss a little, the nomination of Judge Alito.
Correct.
It seems to me that in watching this process that if the president has been left to his own devices completely, instead of nominating John Roberts and Samuel Alito, he'd have probably nominated Alberto Gonzalez and Harriet Myers, which is apparently what he was thinking about doing. And some forces prevailed upon him to not do that, probably for the better, and that his two nominations that he ultimately did make will not be as obsequious, I guess is the word for it, to the executive power as Harriet Myers and Alberto Gonzalez would have been.
Well, that's probably true. Yeah, could have been worse.
A lot worse. Because, you know, there's a question about Harriet Myers, whether she was really up to speed on many of the issues and what was going on. So, I mean, I don't think
that Gonzalez was just an outright fascist.
Well, that's your characterization. I'm not going to call him that, but we'll see if the president has an another opportunity to make a Supreme Court nomination, it'll be very interesting to see who he will nominate. Because that will probably be, in effect, what's going on now, he's replacing conservative justices, more such as the old Chief Justice Rehnquist, and semi-conservatives or moderate conservatives like Senator O'Connor with his nomination.
Right.
But if he tries to replace one of the members of the so-called liberal wing of the court, or even, you know, or perhaps even Justice Kennedy, that's when we'll have to see what's really going to come about here.
Yeah, I'd agree with you at that. John Paul Stevens has been there forever. And,
yes.
He's getting pretty old.
Yes. And if he decides to step down for health reasons or whatever, then it's going to be, then he may attempt to nominate Alberto Gonzalez.
I think you would see opposition like we haven't seen in a long time. I don't think Gonzalez would get, I think even some conservatives, finally, Republicans, might stand up against him. God, I would hope so.
Well, there's a political risk.
All you have to do is bring up the business about torture on Gonzalez, and I don't think he could survive that, the nomination process with his statements on torture.
Well, but there's a political aspect to that. If the Republican right, or whoever you want to, conservative Republican, whatever you call it, oppose Alberto Gonzalez, won't they be accused of opposing him because he's a Hispanic?
I hope we've gone beyond that.
I don't think we have.
Yeah.
In this sense, and I think that's kind of the risk here, and that many people will shy away from opposing Alberto Gonzalez because they think they don't know where he'll vote on certain issues, and they don't know what they're getting, so they'll see what'll happen.
Well, if that came up, what I would say is, obviously, no, this is not a racist type thing. As a matter of fact, I would support the nomination of such and such person, insert black woman, Hispanic, whatever you want to do, who happens to more coincide with my philosophical beliefs, to show that this is a matter of philosophical viewpoint and what these justices believe the Constitution says, has nothing to do with the color of skin or ethnic background. So I think that can be defeated, Pete. Done properly.
You think so?
Yeah.
I hope so, because you get, you know, there's these arguments about the court that it has to be balanced, inclusive of different ethnic groups, whether they're religious groups or racial groups or ethnic groups, that the Supreme Court, or gender.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know. And it's such a specious argument.
If you want to have the best nominees of the Supreme Court, it shouldn't make any difference.
Absolutely. Exactly.
What they are, but there's a big point. There's a large, I think, a significant point of view that says it should reflect the country as a whole as it is now, because the country is more inclusive. We allow women to vote, so on and so forth, which 200 years ago, you know, they weren't allowed to vote, and all this sort of argument.
Well,
the concept of political liberty is different today than it was 200 years ago.
If people want diversity in the court, minorities representation in the court, I would say, hey, the libertarians are a lot smaller minority than blacks or women are. Let's put a libertarian on the court.
But that's a ideological minority.
Ideological minorities, shouldn't that really be more important than just somebody's color of their skin?
Well, it should reflect different points of view, but why should a president appoint someone of a different point of view just because he wants to put a...
I just point out the whole absurdity of that whole argument.
Yeah, well, that's kind of what President Eisenhower did when he appointed William Brennan back in the 50s, I guess. Because William Brennan was a Democrat state Supreme Court judge from New Jersey, and he thought there should be, you know, some more reflect that point of view on the court. But that sort of thing, I'm dubious about that. I think the Supreme Court nominations are too important. If the president wants to put an ideological stamp of some kind on the court, he should do that rather than trying to put, you know, a wide variety of views on the court. He should try and put his point of view on the court, because the next president will come along, we'll balance it out.
Yeah. Well, the question is, does George W. really have an ideological point? of you, or is he just the puppet of a certain ideological point of view and that neoconservatism?
Whether or not he has one or he reflects one, it doesn't make much difference. Do the neoconservatives, do they have a specific point of view on what type of justice should be on the court?
Oh, I would think a very activist, one supports an active executive. I think that's the main neocon's overlying philosophy is that is power. I think they're firm believers in power. So I think they would want a justice that would allow the executive to exert a lot of power.
Do they believe, in your opinion, is this about in terms of abroad, in terms of foreign affairs primarily, or also in terms of domestic affairs?
I don't think it. I think it's all interrelated, and I think they may have international goals, but in order to succeed in obtaining those goals, I think they would are in favor of all sorts of activist executive power domestically.
So therefore, they take a more Tory view. A Hamiltonian Tory view.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of governmental power, to use governmental power to further their ends, not just in terms internationally, but also domestically.
Right. Absolutely.
Because I don't think it's really clear what neoconservatives have a view on health care or something like that. I don't know what the neoconservative view of health care would be, health reform or something
I don't either. My guess would be it'd be some sort of ostensible privatization, but with favoritism toward certain entities.
It'd be Medicare Part D.
Maybe so.
Something that would be a neoconservative. This term neoconservative.
It's, again, I think you look at what Mussolini did in Italy, and I think that's very coincident. Very similar to what the neoconservatives want domestically.
Well,
it's really mercantilism or corporatism or fascism, or Mussolini called it fascism.
Coupled with social conservatism, then.
Yeah, to a certain extent. I don't know if the neoconservatives are that really worried about social conservatism or not. I think they like to use that that base in their camp.
Because see, I for life of me, I can't distinguish between a neoconservative and a neoliberal. I don't understand the distinction between them. I don't see how Tony Blair's foreign policy or international policy differs from George Bush.
No, it's very similar. And would you call Bill Clinton a neoliberal? Same deal, except he maybe preferred to get the UN involved, you know, more than just going it alone internationally. But still, the intervention in Yugoslavia, I think, was horrible.
Yes, it was, but that was under the auspices of NATO as much as it
or
was
NATO,
UN.
Right. But UN or international, I should have just meant a more generalized view of international support versus just going it alone.
But would you think that neoconservatives, neoliberals would support something like Al Gore's support of the Kyoto Treaty or something like that? Or would they not be interested in that type of international?
Probably not. The neoconservatives, probably not.
Therefore, the neoconservatives would be more...
You've just defined a difference there, Pete, between the neoliberals and the neoconservatives.
Well, maybe we found a distinction there.
Yeah.
But in terms of trade, the neoconservative position and the neoliberal position would be the same.
Absolutely the same.
Globalization.
Yeah. Well, through bureaucratic functioning.
Yeah.
Pete, thanks for your call.
Hey,
really appreciate
you.
It.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
This is Freedom Rings. I'm Kenneth John. The phone number here is 847-931-1410. We will be back after a few messages.
Hello, friends. This is Kenneth John, and Freedom Rings need your help. I would like to get back to a two-hour show, but that costs money. You can help by contributing to the Heartland Institute, Illinois' own libertarian think tank, with a tax-deductible contribution. The Heartland Institute is an independent, nonprofit research organization in operation for 17 years. Joseph Bass, Heartland's president, is a frequent guest on this program. 90% of what you contribute to Heartland comes back to Freedom Rings to pay for this ad. By contributing $25 or more, you will receive monthly publications including School Reform News, environment, and climate news, and the Heartlander, the Heartland Institute's monthly newsletter. So please call 312-377-4000 to contribute, and be sure to mention Freedom Ring. That's 312-377-4000. Or you can contribute by credit card on the internet by going to Heartland's website at heartland.org. Again, remember to mention Freedom Ring, and thank you for your support.
You get what you pay for. Efficient, high-quality service from Perfect Painting and Decorating. In business under the same name since 1975, Perfect Painting and Decorating supplies superior service for both interior and exterior painting, decorative finishing, wallpapering, plastering, drywall and taping, and wood refinishing. For your decorating needs, Perfect Painting and Decorating can custom tint right on the job site. Imagine no interruptions, thorough preparation, professional tradesmen, top-of-the-line materials, meticulous cleanup. Get the job done right the first time. It may cost a bit more for quality, but it's worth it. For a free estimate, call Perfect Painting and Decorating at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. You'll be glad you did.
I consider trial by jury as the only anchor yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. What does this mean? Nothing less than that a juror has more power in a particular case than a judge, congressman, or president, and can judge the law. A juror has the right and power to nullify unjust law by voting not guilty, contrary to the jury instructions that many judges routinely give that jurors must apply the law as given by the judge. This is a very important check on the power of oppressive government. In the past, jury nullification has asserted its historical importance concerning fugitive slave laws of the 1850s, prohibition in the 1920s, and draft cases in the 1960s. Oppressive gun laws, tax laws, and drug laws are other instances where the people through a jury said no to government. For more information, call the Illinois Fully Informed Jury Association at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974.
Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats and regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government? Well then, America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Baroni's Pizza, 3 Lakewood Plaza, one block west of Route 25 off of Bessinger Drive in Carpentersville on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 o'clock p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
We're back with Freedom Rings. A couple of announcements. One more mention about Steve Cubby. I should have spelled his name for you. Steve, as it sounds. Cubby, K-U-B-B-Y. That's K-U-B-B-Y. Double B as in boy, boy. He really could use your support spreading the word on the internet that we need to try to help save his life. So appreciate any kind of effort along those lines. If you haven't checked out our website lately, check it out. It's freedomrings.net, and most of my writings and poetry and prose and humor is on there, so check it out. Also, a lot of items you can buy: Freedom Ring T-shirts and coffee mugs and mouse pads, things like that. Okay, quotation of the week. This is from C.S. Lewis, who is the author of Narnia, by the way. Of all tyrannies, a tyranny sincerely exercised
for the good of its victim may be the most oppressive.
The preceding paid program sponsored by Prairie Fire Communications. When that